University of Georgia Griffin campus invites you to join us for news and information about the many and varied programs and activities at the UGA Griffin campus. Information about gardening, the agriculture programs, and your UGA degree at the University of Georgia Griffin campus. Your UGA degree is closer than you think. This program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray and Company Realtors. Listen each Thursday at 9 o'clock a.m. for the UGA Griffin Campus News. This program is produced by WKEU AM 1450 and 102.3 FM and The Rock 88.9 FM and streamed live on our website, WKEUradio.com. Join us now with our guests from the UGA Griffin Campus.
And good morning and welcome into today's program. I'm your host of the proceedings, WKU AM and FM Sports Director Tony Broski. We are joined in studio today by Kathleen Freeman, who is the co-advisor of the University of Georgia Griffin Ambassadors Program. She's also the program coordinator for the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. And we're joined today by a pair of students as well. In studio with us is Dusty Burnham. She is a senior in general business major from Sonoya, Georgia. They have it listed here. You're from Meriwether County, but is that correct? Is that originally?
Mm-hmm.
And we're also joined on the phone. Isabella Rutledge is joining us. She is the president of the UGA Griffin Ambassadors, and she is a senior in consumer economics and general business. She's majoring in that from Stockbridge up in Henry County. We're going to start with our students today, Kathleen. We're not going to put you aside by any means, but we want to, Isabella, we'll start with you. What attracted you to the UGA Griffin campus? Well, Dusty, the same question for you, from being from Sonoy and then from Meriwether County as well. How did you hear about the UGA Griffin campus originally, and then what attracted you to matriculate here?
I found out about the UGA Griffin campus from Georgia Military College. They had a little college fair there, and that is where I attended after high school. And I was so attracted to the small class sizes and the personability of the professors and the classmates. And I thrive in a smaller setting, so I knew that it was a perfect place for me.
Well, now, all three of our people matriculated here at the UGA Griffin campus. Kathleen, you know, talk about your experiences on the campus and to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, because it's been a couple of months since you've been on.
It has, yep. So I'm glad to be back this morning. So I am a former student of the UGA Griffin campus as well. I grew up in Henry County, not too far. I went to a smaller high school, so I've always enjoyed that smaller classroom setting, kind of like Dusty just mentioned. And so I went to Gordon State my first 2 years and finished up with associates in business, and then transferred over, kind of similar to Dusty's story. There was a program coordinator that came over to talk to the students in the classroom, and it was crazy for me not to continue on at UGA and just kind of come in full circle. You know, I was an ambassador. I was the president of the ambassadors as a student, and so now I get to come full circle and advise our newest ambassador, so it's great to see it from both sides now.
Well, Isabel, I know the answer to this question before I ask, but with Kathleen being a former president and you being the current president, is there any hazing that goes on between presidents past and now? Well, if you would, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Of course. So, my name is Isabel Rutledge. I am born and raised in Stockbridge, Georgia. I was a Fulton County 4-H'er for 8 years. So, I went to the UGA Griffin campus as a fifth grader. I always loved the atmosphere. And once I found out that they had undergrad degrees there, I wanted to go there because I didn't really want to go to Athens because it was much bigger environment. So I decided to dual enroll as a high schooler, and the same time that I finished high school, so I was able to transfer to UGA Griffin after completing Southern Crescent Technical College, and now I'm graduating at 21 years old next month.
Yeah, there is a one-year rule here on the University of Georgia Griffin campus that even after you get your 60 hours of core work in before being able to transfer, you know, you're one of those unique cases in which you've received your associate's and your high school diplomas within the same year, but there is that one-year delay. So what did you study at Southern Crescent?
I actually did the pathway that Southern Crescent has with consumer economics, so my associate's degree is in consumer economics, and then I wanted to continue that during my undergrad, and I'm doing the emphasis in financial planning, and about my second semester there, one of the faculty members there asked me, why don't I go ahead and major in general business? Also, it only would take me an extra month to just add another major, and I said, why not?
All right, well, Dusty, let's get your backstory, if you don't mind. You know, tell us, you know, about yourself, where you went to high school, and then your undergrad, your associate's degree.
Yes, sir. I'm very happy to be here this morning. I actually was born and raised in Sonoya. It is Meriwether County. I grew up on a dirt road, Dolly Harris, right off Lion Creek. I grew up on a 19-acre horse farm, riding horses, barrel racing, rodeoing, all that fun stuff. And I actually was an attendee at Trinity Christian School, and I graduated from there in 2017. Shortly after that, I decided to go the junior college route at Georgia Military College, and I was the just general studies there. After finishing my two-year degree at Georgia Military College, I needed a place to go to do my last 4 years to get my bachelor's, and that's when the college fair happened, and I found out about the UGA Griffin campus, and I decided to go that route. Georgia Military College had small classes, and I really thrived there. And then I decided that small classes was where I wanted to be, so UGA Griffin was that for me. I was lucky enough to be accepted and to pursue my business degree. I decided to go that route because I wanted to dabble in both marketing and management, and I can take both of those classes at the Griffin campus.
Now, which of the campuses of GMC did you attend?
The Fayetteville campus.
You went to, so that was a pretty good haul if you were coming from Meriwether County.
Yes, it is. It was a good hour.
But they do have, you know, to GMC's credit, they are just rapidly growing with campuses all over Zebulon now and Fayetteville. And what was your experience like there?
It was very nice, very small community. The advisors were very nice. I can't recommend the Fayetteville campus anymore. It was awesome. Two-year degree there, and the just transfer to UGA Griffin for your last two, and you'll get a degree from UGA.
Well, this is to both of our students, Isabel Rutledge and to Dusty Burnham. Why general business? What is it that attracts you? I mean, I know you just mentioned the marketing, but Isabel, how about you? What is it that about the general business that has attracted you? Well, you being one who got your associate's and your high school diploma pretty much simultaneously, what new features were added for you once you got to the UGA Griffin campus? I mean, what was there anything unique that stood out?
Class, you have your professor, of course, but in most of my classes, I've been in maybe four or five other people, with myself included. And even when I was dual enrolling at Southern Crescent, there would still be like 30 people, and it's still easy not to be seen or heard in a class of 30 people. But really, at UGA Griffin, as a student. You cannot hide. Most of your professors have your cell phone number. They will text you if you are late or if you missed an assignment. So they've really got your back, and they want to see you succeed.
Well, I'm sure you and Dusty both are doing that by hearsay, the text and the calls, because I'm sure you didn't miss a class or an assignment in your careers there. But Dusty, you know, you talked about marketing. What is it that you would like to get into, or are you trying to leave your options as broad as possible?
Mostly I am keeping it broad, but I do have a love for psychology, and that is something that I am doing at the UGA Griffin campus. I am specializing in psychology, so I've taken several classes with Dr. Perry Buffington, and he is amazing. He has led me to want to do my master's program at UGA Athens for the IO psychology program, which is industrial operational psychology, and I plan to do my master's in that, and I can dabble in both business and psychology, and I would not have gone that route if it wasn't for UGA Griffin.
Well, now, Kathleen, in your days on the UGA Griffin campus, you know, what was your major, and you know, what advice can you impart on the students now?
Sure. So I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I'm a Terry grad too. So I picked the general business major, kind of the same reason I wanted a broad major. You know, we tell students all the time, it's okay to not know what you want to do when you graduate high school. And I was one of those cases. So seeing general business was, you know, a great eye opener for me. And it does give you a lot of information in a variety of courses. And it's just a great, you know, degree to specialize in. Before you go on, I went on and got my MBA, and I excelled over my other colleagues because of the wealth of information that our professors at our Griffin campus taught me in undergrad. So just take in all the networking. Dusty just mentioned Dr. Buffington. I never took him as a student. That's my one regret. So if you're ever a student on our campus, take one of his classes. I highly recommend him as a professor. Just enjoy the campus and networking, and get to know as many people in and outside of your program as possible. One of our other co-advisors for the ambassadors, Dr. Fortuna, who's one of the business professors, she's still one of my top references on my resume and, you know, list of people to contact, today. So just building those connections and making them last, keeping in touch, keeping up with the campus, things like that.
Where did you matriculate for your master's?
I went to Kennesaw State, and I did the Georgia MBA, Web MBA program.
And how did that differ from the experiences you had on the UGA Griffin campus?
It was totally different because it was an all online-based program. And so we had students in our cohort from India, England, you know, all across the world. And so it was a lot of coordination and collaboration. And so working with the UGA Griffin campus as an undergrad really helped me build that smaller feel where you had to depend on other people to get your work done and get a good grade in the class. And it was a little bit more independency as well, differing from the UGA Griffin campus, because you're not in class with those people. And so having to build that connection, you know, through a virtual world, kind of like we're all doing right now.
Well, with our current students, Isabel, let's start with you. When it comes to the hybrid classes, you know, and I know you're grateful that UGA has opened up to a certain extent and is allowing in-person instruction, but how was that adjustment period for you going from in-person to online classes last year?
It was tough at first. I really enjoyed being in person on the campus. As a homeschooler all my life, I had pretty much been on my own to do most of my work. Of course, my mom was the teacher slash principal, but at the end of the day, it was up to me to be responsible and do the work. So I feel like that gave me a great head start to tackle online classes, because you really have to have some type of discipline to get those done, because there's a little bit more, you're not technically required to on the online degree programs, but it's been tough.
Well, Dusty, you went to a smaller high school as well. You know, was there an adjustment period for you, you know, going to virtual classes as opposed to, even though the class sizes were smaller at your high school and even at GMC, was there an adjustment period for you?
There definitely was. I am such a people person, and I thrive so much off of friendships and relationships with people. So when it went to just me and my computer screen, it was very difficult, especially during quarantine when I wasn't able to go to work because my occupation is not seen as essential. So I was just at home with my husband, just doing my schoolwork, and it was very isolating. But I am very, very happy to at least be having hybrid at the moment, which is where we go to class on Mondays, but we do Zoom classes on Wednesdays. So it keeps us safe, and it also allows us to still see people and communicate in person and not through screen.
Well, Kathleen, bringing you back in, did you work on the campus as a student?
I did. So I worked in student affairs for a little bit, and then also worked kind of with similar with their organization, the ambassadors, and our student advisory council. So I've been around the campus for a while.
Don't you find it fascinating how many people graduated from the UGA Griffin campus, either worked there as a student or stayed on after getting their degrees?
We always say it's like a big family, and you don't want to leave your family. You grow so close to everyone. We have several people just within the world of academics, that I come in contact with on a daily basis that, pursued a general business degree or other various degrees. We have tons of employees now that are pursuing degrees on our campus, and so it's great to see them in and outside of class, and then in a different career aspect as well. But yeah, once you join that our UGA Griffin family, you just don't want to leave.
Well, Isabel, let's bring you in here, sweetheart, and ask you about your favorite classes. There has to be things that you like, and there's got to be things, even though you might not want to mention them, that you might not like quite so much. But what have been your most pleasant experiences as a student?
I think my most pleasant class, of course, we only were able to be in person for half this semester because it was the semester COVID hit, so it was January through March of 2020. I took consumer protection with Professor Effie Antonuti, and just learning about the policies and consumer protection and the theory behind how consumers make their choices and the decision-making process, it's really interesting because some of it is what I guess they would say common sense, but it's nice to get into a little bit more of the psychology and theory of why consumers make decisions that they do.
I'm an impulse guy. Dusty, same question to you. What's been your favorite classes to this point?
I will have to say my favorite class is definitely the class I'm taking at the moment with Dr. Buffington. It's abnormal psychology, and I just love learning.
Just stick around here, case study.
Right. I just love learning about people and why they are the way that they are, and I'm just so intrigued with the human mind and things that can happen to our bodies when trauma happens or something along those lines.
Well, I direct this question to all three of you. The Terry Business School at the UGA Griffin campus, one of its most terrific features is that many of its professors have real-world experience and then entered into the educational field. How much of a benefit, Kathleen, did you get from that?
It's phenomenal because they don't only bring that textbook knowledge of just go read this chapter, but they bring in experiences from their own career and can put it in that actual real-world scenario. And so it gives you a better understanding that, we talk about how in high school you'll probably never use this math again. Well, that's not the case when you start taking your business classes because you will run into these situations. And they can truly testify at what they did, maybe if it was right or wrong, or how you could better approach the situation and improve your own career. It's great learning from their experience.
Dusty, the same question. How much do you expect to benefit from the real-world experience that the faculty is providing?
They not only can teach it, but they experienced it. So they can give you real-life advice. I know I have talked to Dr. Fortuna in my finance class this semester, and she has gone all the way around the world in everything that she's done. She's worked with so many companies overseas in the United States, and it's just so nice to see from someone else's perspective a real world issue, and she can just tell you exactly how to handle it and what you should do, not from just a textbook standpoint, but also from a real life experience that she has been through.
Isabel, is there anything that you can add to that as to the experience that your professors are providing?
It's a wonderful experience, and I think most of the professors, they have learned from their mistakes in either corporate America or in their jobs, and they know what we need to know as far as pursuing either a higher education if we pursue our master's or if we go straight into the workforce. They've learned by their experience, and they just want us to excel and do better.
Well, let's move into your roles as UGA Griffin ambassadors. It's got to be somewhat challenging to be in the role, first of all, because they only take the elite of the elite of your each class. But given that what you've been able to do because of the pandemic has been so limited, and what is it that you can do right now to foster the University of Georgia Griffin program and the school as an ambassador?
We are currently doing an event, Paint Your Arch Out, and it's going to be a socially distanced event that we're planning to do at the pavilion. It is something that we're planning to get people together to kind of have some new normalcy, and we're hoping that it can run smoothly and we can bring the UGA community together for one last time. For a lot of us graduate this May, so we'll be leaving the ambassador program and moving on to our master's or into the business world. So we're all going to get together for kind of one last hurrah, socially distanced, of course, because of COVID. But we're going to enjoy our time. And that's something that we can do as ambassadors, is to come together and plan something that we all can enjoy.
Well, Isabel is president. I think there may be two ways that you can look at the pandemic from your ambassador presidency. One, that you got a little bit robbed of some experiences, or do you view it more of a challenge to try to come up with something unique in the face of the public health situation?
I look at it more as a challenge. Of course, in the beginning, it does feel like our experience has been stolen, but we have tried collectively as a group to come up with activities and events, even if they're virtually or on campus, of course, practicing the social distance requirements as well. But one of the events that we did was Kathleen, what was that event called that we did virtually? It was like the escape room.
Yeah, virtual escape room.
Yeah, so we did a virtual escape room, and it was really difficult. I think it's more difficult to do it online than in person, but that was just one of the events that we were able to get the fellow ambassadors together and try to escape a virtual room.
Well, Nesty, what is the bonding experience like for the ambassadors within themselves?
We're our own awesome little family. We are so close, and we keep in touch even when we don't have meetings, and we message each other. It's a huge support team as well. So if anyone has an exam, everyone rallies together, and they just tell you that you're great and you're going to do well and you got this. And it's something that you can't replace. Those are friends for life.
Well, Kathleen, you can speak to this, having been a past president. What experiences, unfortunately, have been deprived because of the pandemic?
It's so sad. And, you know, like I said, I'm a co-advisor. And so between Ms. Chapman and Dr. Fortuna, we've talked about it. And we hate that our students have only been able to meet on Zoom. Some of our ambassadors haven't even had an in-person meeting this semester, haven't even been able to kind of meet face-to-face. And so just building that, you know, in-person connection there's no other way to describe it, to just connect with each other. And like we said, the bonding experience that you get, you know, we usually help out with larger events. Sometimes, you know, UGA's president will come, or we'll have community leaders, and, you know, all of that has been canceled and postponed. And so just, you know, right now they're not being able to get that real world leadership outside of our own meetings and just working together, you know, within the community and things like that, just because of different restrictions and social distancing.
Well, Isabel, let's say, for example, you come up with an idea for the ambassadors. From idea to being put into practice, what is that process like?
Well, of course, we first plan, and we usually vote, agree or disagree on what we can do on campus, and then we really take it to the advisors and faculty and staff and Office of Academic Affairs to really get it set in place, because they've had a lot more experience on campus being faculty and staff than we have as students. So they kind of know what works and what doesn't work if it's an on-campus event. So we really lean into their guidance and help once we have a idea.
So now you have worn your red blazer at events, correct?
I have. At one event, that was the December graduation. We were there to give out programs to the attendees there and just to be a smiling face of the UGA Griffin campus. So that was the only time so far that I have worn my red blazer.
Now, what about you, Dusty? Did you get to participate? So you have? Do you put the red blazer on in front of the mirror and say, hey, look, you know, at least entitled, at least I'm an ambassador?
It was really nice. We did take pictures, and I got to wear my red coat for pictures, and I'll keep those forever.
And y'all are the most helpful. The few times that we've had to do events out on the UGA Griffin campus, you guys are the most helpful people ever. So, you know, take that with you and put it on your resume, because that is something that shows that you have a spirit of volunteerism and professionalism. For both of you, I've always been impressed with the ambassador program. Okay, we have three people in the studio, one on the phone with Isabel and two with Dusty Burnham and with Kathleen Freeman. We have three people who have taken UGA Griffin marketing courses. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to take a crash pop test right now on selling students on the UGA Griffin campus.
I could do that for sure.
Well, please do.
It's an experience that you will never forget. You will carry it forever. It is something that is irreplaceable. The time that you can spend on campus with your friends, your colleagues, your people for life. And I will, to the end of the earth, say that UGA Griffin is the best thing that ever happened to me.
All right, Isabel Rutledge, let us have your spiel on selling the UGA Griffin campus to high school seniors or those currently getting their associate's degree.
Yes, so I'll speak to the high school seniors first, because you do have to wait a year after you graduate before you can be enrolled. Just really reach out, connect to our faculty and staff in the Office of Academic Affairs, and make sure that you have the correct courses that are needed to transfer. And those that currently, maybe you have an associate's degree and you're thinking about trying the UGA Griffin campus, but you're not sure, I would just say to go for it, reach out, connect with us, because you won't know until you try or visit the campus. And I think once you take that next step, you will fall in love with the campus, and it's going to be a great fit. We're not like other universities. Yes, we are the University of Georgia, but, you know, it's different than Athens. We have a much more close family atmosphere that you will have an enriched education, and you'll learn so much from our professors one-on-one.
Well, two things to point out, and then she's not with us today and will be up with us in an upcoming program, but to echo the sentiments of Melissa Todd, who is one of the academic supervisors at the campus, it's never too early to call. They recommend that you do it while you're still in high school so that you can have all your core courses, especially the ones that are transferable. There have been so many occasions where people have taken associate's courses at other institutions that just do not transfer seamlessly into the UGA body of work. So it's never too early to call her number, 770-412-4400. And secondly, and I think more importantly, and we harp on this a lot, but it bears repeating, it is a University of Georgia degree which you will be conferred. This is not a University of Georgia Griffin degree. This is the same diploma that they hand out to the 30,000 students that matriculate in Athens. So, you know, just bear that in mind. As for the, what do you see, Isabel, as the future for the ambassador program?
I'm hoping once COVID is gone, I see it just really blossoming into something bigger, maybe kind of how it used to be, probably when Kathleen was an ambassador. We've kind of hit a rough spot with COVID, but we're still trying to make it better virtually, of course. But I think having more students being admitted to the Griffin campus, I really think it'll just blossom, and a lot of us will be tired of the restrictions we're under right now, and I feel like we will go full force forward with activities and events.
Dusty, what do you see as its future? Because you still have a little while to be an ambassador, and maybe that, you know, would some of these restrictions will get lifted before you actually take the stage to graduate. What do you hope to see happen within your remaining time on the Griffin campus?
I do hope that we all can get together and be a little normal, be able to be in a classroom and have an in-person meeting, because it is difficult through Zoom, and I feel like it kind of sets us back a little bit because we're not in the person, like, in-person atmosphere. I will be graduating in May. I am very sad that I didn't accept the ambassador program when I first started in 2019. That is one of my small regrets that I have in life. But I do think that towards the end, graduation, things like that, we'll all get together one last time, and it'll be one for history.
Well, Isabel brought up an interesting point, and I want everybody's perspective. And I'm going to start with you, Kathleen, as, you know, a faculty member, as a department chair, so to speak. Is there a frustration factor for you with a lot of at-home work and less time with the students and activities on campus?
Definitely. It's been heartbreaking to not see our ambassadors face-to-face. And, you know, even on Zoom, we can chat. And the meetings just aren't the same because you're looking at little boxes, you know, kind of like the Brady Bunch. And that's not, you know, how the ambassadors were meant to be. And, you know, from the advisor standpoint, you know, through COVID, we've seen things that maybe we could improve on as advisors throughout, you know, the future of the ambassadors. And so, you know, it's been a great experience. It's been a learning experience for all of us. But, you know, we've heard the word pivot so much. But, you know, our ambassadors have pivoted and done exceedingly above expectations of what we could imagine. But we do, it is frustrating and sad to not be able to have that in-person connection.
How has your job as the program coordinator for the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences changed within the last 13 months or so?
So my living room has now become my office. So I feel,
is that
like
a good thing or a bad thing? Are you one of those that you're okay with staying at home, or do you miss the getting out?
I actually enjoy being at home and being able to work from home. My husband was at home for a little while, and so we have a one-bedroom house, so it's very small, so we were both working from home pretty much in the same room. I don't necessarily think that was the best idea because we couldn't be on Zoom at the same time, but, you know, now that he's kind of gone back full-time, you know, I'm still working from home a few days a week and in the office, but I feel like I can be just as productive at home, and, you know, I don't really need to come in the office, but yeah, I'm more of a homebody and an introvert, so, you know, give me a computer pretty much anywhere and I can be just as happy.
Now, I'm not trying to throw Kathleen Freeman under the bus here, not trying to drop her in the well, but she does actively resist doing the radio show.
And
it is amazing that she's here today. Dusty, how about you? You know, I know you said that you're, you know, being an extrovert, you're a people person, but, you know, what kind of discipline has it taken for you to keep up with your studies online? Because, I mean, just speaking from my own experience, if I didn't have to come in every day, my job performance would suffer. Not that it doesn't already, but it would suffer if I couldn't get out every day. Was that a challenge for you?
It was a huge challenge for me. I ended up having to set a lot of reminders. My husband played a big part in it, too. He would, if I was, you know, watching a TV show for too long, he was like, don't you need to do some homework? I'd be like, yeah, I do. And I would go and I'd do some homework, or I'd take a break. And I bought a blow-up baby pool for my dog, so we would have fun outside during quarantine. But it was really difficult because I had to get in the mindset like I went to school. It's really nice for me to drive to school, sit in class, and leave, and because I essentially make that my school day. So when every day ran into the next, I never had just a school day, and it was difficult for me.
Well, Isabel, the only advantage that I see to remote learning, especially you coming from Stockbridge, you might be saving a little bit on the gas money front. You know, your operating expenses might not be quite the same. Are there any other advantages to being virtual predominantly that I'm missing?
Not off the top of my head that I can think of. Of course, for me, it's saving some money and saving time. Usually it takes me about an hour to get down there and an hour to get back. It's, of course, totally worth it, but it does save me 2 hours out of my day when I do not have to drive and I can attend class virtually. So that's two extra hours that I can study. So there's some opportunity cost there, but it's nice though. I know Dusty was talking about the discipline too. We're in a lot of classes together, so we try and hold each other accountable. Like, hey, don't forget, this is due, and she'll do the same for me. So I think that's just part of the family atmosphere and the friendships that are formed through the campus as well.
Now, in your business classes, do you guys have group assignments?
All the time.
Now, I want to ask you both, you know, what kind of pressure is there? And I mean, I'm not knocking any other institution when I say this, but given the close-knit nature of the University of Georgia student body, on the Griffin campus, because the classes are small, you get to the bigger schools and you're always going to have that one slacker that wants to take credit for everybody else's work, because I'm that guy, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, what is that dynamic like as a UGA Griffin student? Do you have to pressure each other, or is it a self-imposed thing that you know you've got to hold up your end of the bargain?
Yeah, there's no slacking allowed. There's not a single slacker on that campus. Everyone is an equal. Everyone is bound and determined to make 100, and we do. We all rally together if we're in a group. It's normally 2 to 3 people probably, but it's hundreds all across the board because we all work so hard and diligently, and we all keep each other in check essentially.
Now, Isabel, can we get your thoughts on that? I mean, what's the group project dynamic like for you, and do you feel a self-imposed pressure to keep up with everybody else?
I usually am the mom of the group, so I like to have a little bit of control of like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. But for the most part, we all get together, we split up the work, and go from there. I think it's just great that I'm at a campus that everyone cares just as much about their education as I do. So we don't want to make ourselves suffer. You know, I want to do my part. Dusty wants to do her part, and we want to go for that A. And if I don't do my part, Dusty's going to be upset with me, and I don't want that.
Well, we've talked about, and Kathleen, I want you to answer this as well, because your experience, you're still young enough that UGA Griffin wasn't that long ago. Talk about the role of the advisors. I mean, we've talked about the role of faculty. Mm-hmm. But what is the role and your relationship been with your advisors, and how crucial has that been in your educational process? Isabel, I guess we can start with you if you don't mind.
Yes. So when I first started, Effie Antonutti was my advisor for consumer economics. Unfortunately, that program is not offered on the UGA Griffin campus any longer, but that was what I came to the university to accomplish. And then, like I said, I added general business later. But it's nice because I met with now Professor Antonutti as a 17-year-old high schooler. So I was a junior in high school at the time. And once I met with her, we started getting the plan together, of course, with Miss Melissa, as far as what courses I would need to take in order to transfer to UGA Griffin. But it's been nice because that's been 4 years ago, and I still have a wonderful relationship with Professor Antonutti. She is a wonderful advisor, and I do not know what I would have done without her and her willingness to meet with me, even at 17 years of age.
Okay, Dusty, who is your advisor?
I have Rachel Allen. Miss Rachel Allen.
And what has been the relationship, and how has that helped you along in your studies?
She also, if I'm not mistaken, she was on the Griffin campus. Mm-hmm. She did it as well. We're very close in age, so she was able to relate to what I was going through, my jobs, getting married, and things like that. She understood, and she helped me pick the right classes for my schedule, which is what allowed me to get in and get out pretty quickly. I've been here a year and a half, and I graduate in May, so that's really good time.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 2 years.
Yeah, and I was able to get in and out, essentially. Not that I wanted to, but I am married, and I wanted to get into the workforce pretty quick.
Well, now, Kathleen, in your days as a student, is your advisor still on campus? If so, who was it?
She is not. I had Miss Sonia. Rachel actually took her position a few years ago. But from the student perspective, you know, Miss Sonia is the reason that I am at the Griffin campus. Like I said, she came in, I want to say it was the semester I was graduating. And so I was not one of those fortunate students that was in contact with the Griffin campus, which is why now, from my, you know, job standpoint, I know why it's so important. But I, you know, I worked my butt off that summer semester to get all the classes that I needed to get into the Griffin campus. And I believe it was like the Friday before registration, or before classes started, you know, she called me and said, all right, come to my office and we're going to get you registered. And so, just, you know, it was a Friday afternoon, probably 5 or 6 o'clock, and she wanted me to come in and meet and advise me. And just the personal aspect, you know, they go far and beyond. And now from an advisor standpoint, I know what I looked for, you know, as a student, and just being able to help, you know, my College of Ag students, but also get to know our general business students and our Franklin majors. You know, I've gotten to know a lot of other students outside of College of Ag as well as in College of Ag, and it's just been a great experience.
Do you find, as a program coordinator, and again, no knock at any other college anywhere around, but there is a drive that I see in UGA Griffin students that is somewhat uncommon.
Our students are so unique. They're so determined. They're independent on their studies. We often joke a lot of the times, it's hard to plan student events because our students are always in a study room, you know, getting ready for an exam.
Leave your books at home for the get-togethers.
Exactly. Like, all right, we've got to have some kind of fun on this campus every once in a while. But that is so great to see. I mean, you know, if you've ever been to our campus, our SLC study rooms, they're always packed. They're always collaborating. Like Dusty said, you know, they're always holding each other accountable, texting in and outside of class. And so our students just, they're unique, and it's so great to see. And that's why we want to make sure that, you know, if you fit this mold, we would welcome you to come visit and enroll and send us your transcripts and get you on your own UGA journey.
Well, Dusty, this might be a little bit different for you being married, but what is your social life as a part of the UGA Griffin campus been like?
It's been really awesome, honestly, to be as young as I am and to be married and to still have friends that are so invested in their future. It's like we are on the same page, like in of life, and it's really nice to have people with such a strong mindset and want to better themselves and be better. And that's something that can be offered at the Griffin campus, because everyone wants better for themselves, for their families, for their life. They want to change the world, and we're all bound and determined to get there and do it.
Isabel Rutledge, going to a smaller school like UGA Griffin, do you feel at all deprived of social interaction? Or, you know, what has your social life been like as a student?
I do not feel deprived at all. Everyone I go up to and meet for the first time, they're always so friendly. When I first met Dusty, she was awesome. And actually, we didn't know this at the time, but she was also in 4-H when I was in 4-H. So our circles were running close together even way back then. But it's been wonderful, even the times we have to meet on the Zoom, usually Monday nights when I get off of work. I'm taking income tax planning this semester, and a group of ladies, we get together, and we have study group, but we do get off topic sometimes, and we have a little bit of a social hour. So we have a little bit of fun while we're studying. But as far as the times I'm on campus, we do have the wonderful Dundee Cafe on site,
so
that
yummy.
We can grab coffee and just have a little chat, in all the essence of, yes, we need to study, but it's okay to relax and hang out sometimes too.
Well, you bring up another good point. Dusty, I'm going to ask you the same thing in a moment. But Isabel, you mentioned that you work out as well as you're trying to complete your studies. And, you know, May is not that far off. But how accommodating have your professors been with your work career? I mean, I know what you're doing now is probably not going to be your vested career, but how amenable and how easy to work with have they been, considering that you do have to work as well?
It's been wonderful. I'm currently an office manager at a dance studio in McDonough, Georgia. So I'm doing a little bit of taking payments and customer relations, answering the phone with that. But moving forward, I think it's been a great experience as far as having professors that understand that. Part of my curriculum I had to receive as an internship, and my professor allowed my current work to count as my internship because I handled enough of the financials on the day-to-day basis. So I was able to knock out that experiential learning requirement as well. So I didn't have to go and get another internship because I had already been doing that in my place of work.
Dusty, have you had any internship, or are you currently working, or are you able to devote your entire time to your studies?
Sadly, I am not. I still work 35 to 40 hours as a manager at Penguin Embroidery in Fayetteville. So I am also doing a lot of the finances, the bill paying.
So you're still doing that hour drive as well, even without the schooling, you're through work.
Yeah, I've never lived anywhere where I didn't have to drive an hour to get to any city.
You must like the outskirts then.
Yes, I like living in the country.
Okay, now we've got to talk about the future. And Isabel, let's start with you. If the future were to fall exactly the way you wanted to, where are you going to be in 5 years?
Ooh, in 5 years. So my plan right now, I'm going to apply to the master's and the PhD program in consumer economics offered at the Athens campus. Of course, it all depends on my GRE scores. But if my GRE scores are high enough, I'm going to go ahead and apply for the PhD program and hope to have a doctoral degree by the time I'm 26 or 27. But if not, I'm going for my master's, and I hope by the time I'm 23, I'll have a master's degree in consumer economics. And I'm hoping to maybe go into academia or possibly go back to my roots in 4-H with extension or a 4-H program coordinator.
All right, Dusty, before Dusty Burm is going to have to leave us momentarily, as she has a previous commitment, but same question, where do you see yourself in 5 years with your UGA Griffin degree?
I will be living in Athens and hopefully have my master's degree in the IO psychology program. After that, I will hope to work for a Fortune 500 company in corporate America, working probably somewhere around HR. But if dreams did come true, I'd be the production manager somewhere. That's what I would really want to do.
Well, if we don't get a chance to say goodbye to you, because I know you've got a previous engagement, we do very much appreciate you stopping by and being a part of the UGA Griffin program this morning.
It's been awesome.
All right, Kathleen, for you, 5 years from now, how will the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences change?
I would love to see, you know, maybe more programs offered on our campus, specifically maybe in food science or, you know, offered through Food Pick on our campus. You know, I'd also love to see more students. You know, we don't want our class sizes to grow too much, but, you know, having more sections of classes added would be awesome. And just, you know, being able to serve more students, you know, on our campus.
Now, what kind of adjustment was it for you going from the business world to having to go into agricultural and environmental sciences? I mean, was that a bit of a leap for you?
For the first probably 6 months to a year, I was a total fish out of water. It was such a learning curve. Unlike our two students, I was never involved in 4-H, you know, never did anything like that. So learning all these new terms and the great opportunities that all of our ag students, both in high school and college, have at their fingertips, just learning the lingo, you know, what we call it. I've learned in ag, we have a lot of acronyms because we have a lot of long names. So just kind of like writing down this, maybe in a meeting or off campus, okay, I'll have to look that up later. But you know, it was a great opportunity for me to just, you know, broaden my horizons and just take what I did learn, you know, through the business program, execute it in my daily job, and then just learn a whole different field as well.
Well, she mentioned 4-H, Isabel, and you were a member of 4-H here in Spalding County for years. What did you learn through 4-H and the extension service offered by the University of Georgia that's helped you in your academic career?
I really think what's key is the learn by doing, and I think going into UGA Griffin, I think the professors, they also kind of follow the learn by doing attitude. With that being said, of course, with their corporate experience and all of their experience in the real world, they want us to solve problems, real world problems, with our group activities or a research project and so forth. So I really think, you know, as even though I was a fifth grader, I was first exposed to the College of Family and Consumer Sciences. I was a member of the Cotton Bowl and Consumer Judging contest as with Spalding County 4-H. So it's been interesting to see everything come in full circle because now I'm about to graduate from the Family Consumer Sciences.
Well, getting back to the ambassador program, on the line with us is Isabel Rutledge. She is the current president of the UGA Griffin Ambassadors, and in studio with us is a former president in Kathleen Freeman. How does one become president? Is this something that the ambassadors vote on amongst themselves, or are you appointed, or how does that process work?
So, I don't know if Kathleen...
Yeah, no, you go ahead. Go ahead, Isabel.
Oh, go ahead. So, first we have to... state our intent. We also have other positions available, vice president, secretary, and assignment coordinator. But first we state our intent, and then we give a wonderful motivational vote for me speech. We actually were able to have that last year in person, of course, following our safety guidelines. But it was, and then we vote. And I just happened to get the most votes, and I'm very thankful for that. And like I stated earlier, I've been leaning into Kathleen as much as possible to, you know, what should I do in this situation? How can I be better? And she's been so accommodating and helpful with that.
Well, Kathleen, I have to say that having to get up and give the vote for me speech kind of belies your introverted nature.
It does, yes.
So, you know, what was that process like for you? And, you know, how did you overcome it? Or, you know, how badly did you want to be president in order to do those things?
It's just one of those things that you have to get up and do. And, you know, I felt confident in myself and that I could lead the ambassadors. And I started out as vice president my previous semester. So I'd kind of looked to, you know, the former president for advice and guidance. And, you know, I just knew, I didn't know, but I had a feeling that I could probably be elected to the presidency. And I just got up and, you know, gave it in front of my former ambassadors. Luckily, it was only about maybe 10 or 12 people, so it was a smaller group. But and that's one great thing that the ambassadors helps with is we build those communication and public speaking skills that, you know, you may not really get the chance to maybe inside of class. And so building on that with people that you are not as familiar with that may be outside of your major and just getting you outside of your comfort zone. We've had a lot of students, myself included, that have kind of come out of their shell because of the ambassador program.
Well, now the answer to this question may be no, and if it is, it's okay. But is there any coordination between the ambassadors on the University of Georgia Griffin campus, the Athens campus, the Gwinnett campus, the Tifton campus, or is it entirely independent?
So we do have a lot of collaboration. Just from a student affairs point, we have the DSASAB. I believe I said that
right.
Well,
you know those acronyms, don't you?
The acronyms are crazy. But it's the Division of Student Affairs Advisory Board, and they meet with our students. It's organizations from all across all of our campuses. So, you know, Isabella sat on a few of those meetings. I sat on a few of them when I was a student. And they just kind of give an update about what's all going on. And so we listen to them, and they listen to us. And it's just neat to see what other organizations are doing. And then more so specifically from the College of Ag standpoint, you know, our student ambassadors from all three campuses do events all across the state. So we had one of our Griffin ambassadors help right before the pandemic at the Georgia State Fair. So she went down there and helped me just talk to people and recruit for our campus. You know, we do the expo in Moultrie. So we see them all across the state.
Isabella, did you see yourself as a leader prior to becoming president of the ambassadors?
Not on campus. I at first when I started, I knew the rigor of UGA classes. I wanted to kind of try it out before I got involved to any activities, and I do regret not joining earlier because the year I joined was, of course, during COVID. And if I would have joined a year prior to that, I think I would have seen what it was like to be an ambassador prior to COVID. But once I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, I of course, did see myself on campus being a leader. And I just really like being the face of UGA Griffin because it's so wonderful and nice, and it's definitely a place I call home.
Well, real quickly, let me get in some announcements so Elizabeth Laney doesn't skin my hide. From the University of Georgia Griffin campus, a virtual information session about the Master of Plant Protection and Pest Management, or the MPPM program. That's going to be held on April 15th. That's today at 6:30 p.m. You can learn more about your popular master's programs offered on the UGA Griffin campus. The registration link can be found on the UGA Griffin Facebook page or at its website, www.griffin.uga.edu. In other news, a virtual information session concerning the Mary Frances Early College of Education Graduate School will be held May 3rd. That's starting at 6 p.m. It gives you the opportunity to learn about the kindergarten through 8th grade mathematics education degrees. The registration link is found on the website. Again, that's griffin.uga.edu. If you want more information about the degrees offered on the Griffin campus, you can obtain undergraduate or graduate degree information offered through the four university colleges by visiting the website or calling 770-412-4400. Continuing education offers meeting space for a wide variety of activities and learning and will expand as the pandemic starts to lessen. They also offer classes throughout the year. For a complete listing, visit the website or call 770-412-4400. And as previously mentioned, the Dundee Cafe, located in the historic UGA Mule Barn, offers culinary delights, offered a fourth by Chef Marcy Bradbury. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is off the hook, and they're going to do that on Friday starting at 7:30. She used to do it on Saturdays as well. I'm telling you, it's well worth your time. And if you're pushed for cooking time, get one of her casseroles. They're pre-made. Take it home. Heat it up. You won't regret it. That's on the University of Georgia Griffin campus, and their outdoor veranda offers a terrific view of the historic experiment station. Let's get some final thoughts on this week's program from our guest, Kathleen Freeman, the University of Georgia Griffin campus program coordinator for the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences. You have any final thoughts that you'd like to add for this week's program?
I think the thing that I picked up from both of our students today is don't wait to join the ambassadors. No matter what you do, wherever campus you go, be involved. College, your college experience is what you make of it. And whether you choose to come to UJ Griffin or somewhere else, you know, get involved, get to know people in and outside your program, and just, you know, give back to the place that you'll call home one day.
Isabella Rutledge, we're going to ask you the same question. You know, what kind of time commitment did it take, and has the experience been all that you thought it would be?
Yes. So, of course, with any degree out there, you've got to put in the time. And, of course, this is the University of Georgia, so I did have to cut back a few hours at my current job. And, of course, they have been accommodating as well to that with the professors, knowing that I am working. But it's awesome, and I am very thrilled to be here. And it is everything and more.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you both again, our guests today on the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News, Kathleen Freeman, the former president and the current co-advisor of the Ambassadors Program on the Griffin campus. She also serves as program coordinator at the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. Isabella Rutledge, she's the president of the UGA Griffin Ambassadors and a senior majoring in consumer economics and general business, who will graduate in May, and we congratulate you on that and wish you the very best of luck. And joining us earlier in the hour was Dusty Burnham, also an ambassador on the UGA Griffin campus. She also a general business major from Sonoy, and she too will be graduating in May. We thank you very much for your time and wish you the best of luck. Kathleen, thank you. I hope we get to see you again soon. Quick question, is your husband still an ambassador of college football?
Unfortunately, he is a Florida Gator fan, so I hate to admit that, but you know, we wear a little bit more blue and orange in our house than we'd like to, but we make it work. So he's still around cheering for Florida, so we'll see how this season goes. Well, hopefully we'll do better, so go Dogs.
Well, he and I I have one thing in common. We turn ESPN on at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and it stays on till midnight.
All day, yep, all day.
So we do have that in common. But again, ladies, thank you so much for your time. Listeners, we thank you for your time as well, and we hope that you'll join us 167 hours from now for the next University of Georgia Griffin Campus News.